A very good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, April the 3rd, 2016. You're listening to Studio 7 coming live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, the Harare City Council Health Department says there has been a decrease of typhoid cases in the country.
We can confirm that, yeah, in the past few weeks we were having an outbreak of typhoid in the city of Harare. Right now it is slowing down. We are noticing fewer and fewer cases coming to our clinics.
A young Zimbabwean entrepreneur who was part of the 2015 Mandela Washington Young African Leaders Fellowship urges this year's fellows to take advantage of the opportunities offered by the program. And a Zimbabwean lady gets a lucky break to visit the U.S. President Barack Obama's White House with her young daughter.
So people back home, I mean, I can't even explain the amount of excitement. And, you know, for them, it's something that you would never even imagine a Zimbabwean would ever be close to the White House. So all of my family and friends were so excited.
And as usual, we give you the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. For these stories and much more coming up, stay tuned. The Harare City Council Health Department says there has been a decrease of typhoid cases in the country due to the massive awareness program that was offered by the City Council. The Harare City Council Health Director Chris Chonzi says despite this decline, there is need for services offered by his council to improve to ensure that the disease is eradicated. Typhoid is a waterborne disease that has over the years affected people in some of the country's high-density suburbs like Budiriro. Chonzi speaks to Studio 7's Jonga Kanzemiri on the issue.
We can confirm that, yeah, in the past few weeks we were having an outbreak of typhoid in the city of Harare. Right now it is slowing down. We are noticing fewer and fewer cases coming to our clinics. The suburbs that were mostly affected were the western suburbs, Budiriro, Glenview, Glenora, and the new settlements such as Hopley, Stone Ridge. So at the moment, yes, we are noticing that there is a reduction in the number of patients that are coming.
Water was one of the major problems that was attributed to the outbreak of the typhoid disease. Have you managed to address this issue?
We attribute this, yes, to a slight improvement, and I want to reiterate, slight improvement in the provision of water and sanitation. But we really think that it is an issue of attitude change. The messages that we have been pushing to the communities where we're asking them to boil water if they're not sure of where the water was coming from or if they fetch their water from shallow wells. So I think now people are boiling water. They are practicing good personal hygiene such as washing of hands before meals and washing of hands after using the toilets. And we think that these, you know, health education or health promotion activities have now sunk and people are doing much better in terms of those. Although, like I said earlier on, the water and sanitation situation can still improve further. At the moment, we still have days where when people go 24 hours without water, and obviously that will push them to look for water from undesignated sources.
What about the vending of food and fruits?
Food vending is another issue where people are still buying food from unlicensed premises or unregistered premises. But what we are noticing now is that at least they are eating the food whilst it is still hot, and that is a bearing on the transmission of typhoid. So, yes, the environment is still not the type of environment that I would be comfortable with. But, yes, there is definitely some improvement.
Do you have a timeline where you can say the council hopes to eradicate this problem by such a month?
There are a number of approaches. Typhoid, yes, it is a disease. That's why it falls under my purview. But there are a lot of other departments that have a lot to do with the outbreak of typhoid. For example, the Department of Water and Sanitation. We must provide people with water 24/7, and we must respond to sewer base within 24 hours. And also we must then make sure that refuse is being collected. So these are long-term sort of solutions. For as long as we have not addressed these issues in total, you will still have these sporadic outbreaks of typhoid.
That was Harare City Council Health Director Chris Chonzi speaking to Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri. A young Zimbabwean entrepreneur who was part of the 2015 Mandela Washington Young African Leaders Fellowship urges this year's fellows to take advantage of the opportunities offered by the program. Munyarazi Dodo, who is in the United States at a technology conference in Silicon Valley, says opportunities like these came through his participation at YALI 2015. We caught up with Dodo to tell us more about his experience after attending YALI 2015.
Okay, my name is Munyarazi Dodo. I am the co-founder of TV Yangu, a Zimbabwean startup from Zimbabwe. It was very amazing. I managed to bring back a lot of experience, a lot of networks, and to expand our reach with the work that we do at TV Yangu across different countries. So getting back, we managed to bring in one of the lighting director for Salma, the movie. His name is Christian Epps. He came 2 weeks straight after our YALI program, and he came and managed to have a workshop in Harare for film, for lighting experts and general people who work in the film industry. And we did that free of charge. And then we had Jill Burgess, who came through from Code for Charlotte. And then we had partnered with the Zambian Short Film Festival. We had a couple of fellows who came through to Zimbabwe as well. We had Thabo Ngalo from South Africa. He came through for a visit. Amel from Mauritania, who came to help us with one of the campaigns that we're actually running now with the YALI network called Africa for Her. And it's been a huge improvement on the work that we used to do, and it's taken us to the next level, and we're finding that we're having more collaborations with different young people from across the continent, and we're not just limited to Zimbabwe anymore.
What are some of the challenges that you saw when you returned back in Zimbabwe after attending YALI 2015? How do you think these challenges can be resolved?
I think people face challenges. The perception is always like there's always a perception from different circles that this is an American initiative meant to fast track brain drain of young Africans, but that perception is misguided, and I think that's one of the biggest challenges that YALI fellows normally face when they go back home. They just get misunderstood. The intentions of the program just get misconstrued. So I think if more emphasis is put on awareness, and you'll see that with the 2016 fellows, a lot of activities was put into, you know, educating people on what exactly goes on YALI, and the information is there on the internet. The YALI fellows talk about it openly, so I think that's just the challenge that's there normally.
What word of advice would you have for this new crop of YALI fellows for 2016?
Well, if any of the 2016 fellows are listening right now, I'd say that, you know, they should take this opportunity very seriously. It can be a life-changing opportunity, or they could miss the boat. They could just have a holiday in America. So they should take the opportunity seriously and use it for all it's worth and make a lot of connections. They shouldn't see it as like an opportunity to just get out of Africa, but an opportunity to bring back resources and networks that can leverage their businesses, their initiatives, and take them to the next level.
That was the founder of TV Yangu and YALI alumni, Munyarazi Dodo, speaking to us from San Francisco here in the United States. A Zimbabwean lady, Robin Travers, caught a lucky break this Easter holiday as she and her daughter got a chance to visit U.S. President Barack Obama's White House. Her 7-year-old daughter and herself were able to attend Obama's last egg roll during his administration. We caught up with Robin to tell us more about her experience.
The experience was probably one of the greatest that I've had in my life. I went with my 7-year-old daughter, Addison. It was amazing. Everything was very punctual. The gates opened at 4 o'clock as they had promised, and we had to wait maybe about half an hour before we started any of the festivities and activities. But it was very prompt, very much on time with everything. And my daughter just had an amazing, amazing experience. She got to do all of the activities. I found a lot of them to be educational as well as, you know, play and fun. I'd say a little bit of both. And it was just, it was just really, really well organized and very well planned, and we enjoyed it thoroughly.
What were some of the activities that your daughter got to partake in, and what did she like the most? We heard that Beyonce was also down there. Did you get to meet her?
Beyonce was there with her husband. I did not, however, get to see her. We went to the later time slot at 4:30, but from what I understand, they were there earlier in the day. However, we got to see a couple of other celebrities and pop stars. Daya was one of them. Daya, should I say, is her name. And then we got to see Silento as well. So my daughter took part in they had some dance competitions with both Daya and Silento, and they had the kids dancing, you know, on stage with them to their favorite songs. And of course, it was just, you know, for most of the kids who love pop stars today, it was just a lot of fun for them to take part in that.
And being a Zimbabwean based here in Washington, this kind of visit, how does it translate to you? What are people back home saying to you?
Oh, my. So people back home, I mean, I can't even explain the amount of excitement. And, you know, for them, it's something that you would never even imagine a Zimbabwean would ever be close to the White House. So all of my family and friends were so excited and were so pleased when they saw the pictures. And they were just, you know, in awe that a Zimbabwean could actually be close to, you know, they all kept saying, I hope you get to meet Obama. And they were just like, I can't even explain the level of excitement, you know, for us being from Zimbabwe to ever be have an opportunity like that was something that I never thought I'd experience in my lifetime. So definitely the people back home were extremely excited.
That was Robin Travers, a Zimbabwean lady who caught a lucky break to visit President Barack Obama's White House during Easter. Coming up, the Youth Forum with Tsatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues today. I'm gladly joined by Meshack Gondo, who is the director of the National Association of Youth Organizations. Thanks for joining me today, Meshack.
Thank you very much, Tatenta.
We spoke earlier this week on our youth show, The Connection, where we spoke about organizations working to increase the skills of young Zimbabweans. What as an organization are you doing on the ground?
Young people in Zimbabwe currently, I can say that the desperate generation, whereby things are increasingly being difficult. But as young people, we are still hopeful. And also coming, like that you mentioned, coming from an umbrella board. And also my institution, as you might say, that is also the association of NANGO, which is the umbrella board also of organization in Zimbabwe. There's quite a lot that we need to introspect on in terms of continuing to capacitate the young people to be able to respond to various things. Capacitation can come in terms of supporting them in their business, skills, capacitation in mobilization, capacitation in engagement.
How does the political and economic conditions shape engagement or leadership training for youth? You know, it's a big deal. How does that shape what you guys are doing?
Yeah, the political economy and the political situation in Zimbabwe is increasingly deteriorating. Also, taking this from a knowledgeable point of view, because as an institution, we are currently doing an enabling environment study whereby we're doing interviews with various institutions, government institutions, about the state of environment in Zimbabwe. And the things are bad. You can see even young people from even civil servants and other people demonstrating when they according to the constitution and they receive the hostile approach from the government.
Even with these programs, Meshack, there are some who say that, you know, the programs are not meeting the youth at grassroots level. How are you combating that issue? Is it possible to combat that?
Definitely. If we are talking of mobilization, we need to look at the grassroots level. And right now, it's quite okay because we are following what you call the Busani principle, whereby the development has to come from the from the grassroots. Even our development partners themselves, they've introspected from before whereby they were just doing the Capital City program. And if you are talking of redevelopment and sustainable development, we need to include the young people at the battlefield. Yes, we understand that there are structural issues in terms of their reach, but this is one of the things that we need to introspect in that. If we are talking of programs that benefit the young people, who are the real beneficiaries? We are talking of young people in rural areas. We are talking of young people in farms. We are talking young people in urban areas, in high-density suburbs, in low-density suburbs. Everyone should be included.
And moving forward here, the question of engagement by young people. But how can the grassroots level really, really start this engagement and get young people involved into what's going on in the country?
The best approach to engage young people is to just to facilitate them to be able to issue their concerns. Problem is when you want to develop young people at the grassroots, to go there with the program, you need to visit the young people at the grassroots and hear their concerns. Just assist them in making policy pointers whereby they are saying, well, some young people, they've got different issues that are facing them. To go to the young people in Mutare, they've got different concerns. If you've got both young people in Dinga, they've got different concerns. Maybe they are not going to school. But there are what we call national concerns. For example, unemployment. That is national. But when you want to engage young people, that's why we need some of the tools called the open space technology. Whether you involve the village, you involve their parents, and they plan to say, we own this program. What can we do to make sure that we participate? And also, you start to capacitate them so that they can feed into national processes.
And Mishik, I want to say thank you there for joining me today on the Youth Forum.
Thank you very much.
That was Mishik Gondo, Director of the National Association of Youth Organizations, and joining me today on the Youth Forum. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and as usual, make sure you join me next week.
Thank you, Tatenda Gumbo. And in sports news, the Zimbabwe Paralympic Association says it is facing huge financial problems when it comes to promoting sports for people living with disabilities. We hear more from the head of the organization, Michael Bulagango.
When it comes to sports for people with disabilities, we are trying our best as an organization to make sure athletes from all ages who participate in sports, because this will help us when we are looking for athletes for different competitions. Some will participate in the Rio 2016, some will participate in Tokyo 2020 and beyond. So we've got different athletes for different competitions as we stand. And we've already started training for Rio 2016. We had 14 athletes in December, and we've trimmed the team to 8, whom we hope will further trim again to remain with maybe 4 or 5 best athletes for Rio 2016. Because we don't want to carry numbers. We don't want to have to be made to add the numbers as a country. We really want for their performance athletes to go to Rio 2016.
On Rio 2016, in what discipline will some of your athletes be representing?
All our athletes are doing athletics. We have got athletes with visual impairments, and we also have athletes who are amputees. So those are the two categories who will be taking part in athletics in the Rio 2016.
In what discipline?
Athletics, mainly track events.
What are some of the challenges that you're facing as an organization standing for those people living with disabilities that are involved in sports?
Like any organization that is in its growing stage, our challenges are still many. And of course, one of the biggest challenges is limited funding. There's a limited funding, and as a result, it subsequently brings on board other challenges related to sport. We also do have shortage of qualified technical officials who would require someone with level 4 coaching to be able to deal with athletes on podium performance. Other things also, we do not have our own facilities, so we rely on paying for facilities from other organizations and even from government. We have to pay something to use those facilities. And with limited funding again, we may have to cut the number of training that are required.
That was Michael Bulagango, the head of the Zimbabwe Paralympic Association, speaking to us from Harare. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead.